to be your witness without saying a word, what they say. You know, it says preach the gospel at every occasion. When use words when necessary. So Holy Spirit, today I pray that you would equip us by your word. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. So, I also want to take this opportunity to talk to you from what I was talking about last week. You know, it's like Easter is over. There's this feeling like, oh, Easter is over. Really? We know Easter is not over. And we know Easter is not just a season or a weekend. What did we say last week? There are three things that categorize. What word do I need? Characteristic. Help me out. Categories. Characterize. There are three things that characterize Easter. Jesus suffered, picked up his cross, died on the cross, resurrected. Remember that? Those three things. Those three things gives us hope. And anybody who chooses to follow Jesus, those three things must happen to you as well. You must die to yourself. You must pick up your cross daily. You must pick up your cross. You must die to yourself so the resurrected Christ can manifest in your life. And I tell you, that's why when we look at in the church, you see a lot of people, you look at their lives, you're like, where is the resurrected Christ? Living in Christ, what does that look like? I love what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer lived, but Christ lived in me. I want you to think about this. Man, these guys, put your hands together for these guys back there. Because I did not give them any verse today. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which now I live in, where? In the flesh. I live by what? In what? Let's not rush it. Let's go back. I have been crucified with Christ. I want everybody to picture the crucifixion. I know Vic brought a message on Good Friday for me. And we showed really good. I encourage you, go listen to it again. If you weren't here, go and listen to it. But we show a, what, 12 minute, was it 11 minutes film? I bet you some of you, you like, man, I can't watch this. We're not going to show you again today. But if you haven't watched The Passion, I believe The Passion of Christ, that film, Mel Gibson, I believe he did one of the best. I believe, you know, that's my personal opinion. I think he did one of the best description of what could he put in our mind, what could possibly happen to Jesus. And some of us, we can't even watch it. Because I remember the first time I watched, every time I watch it, I'm like, there's one part I'm like, I can't watch it. So I want you right now to picture in your mind. You know, God chose Paul. He said, Paul encountered God, and, you know, of course, he became blind, and God sent one of his disciples, Ananias, to where Paul was to pray for him and baptize him so he could see again. And then one of the word God told Ananias, he says, I choose this guy to suffer for me. You know, there's this deception that when you come to Jesus, everything is going to be all right. Well, let me tell you, everything will be all right. But in this world, you will have trouble. But I leave you my peace. The world will hate you. You ask yourself, why would the world hate you? Because you do not carry the spirit of the world. There is a verse in Corinthians that says, we did not receive the spirit of the world. You know, the spirit we receive is the spirit of God. So we know all of God's blessing, something like that. Now I want you to picture crucifixion. Go back to the verse, Galatians chapter 2. And I want you to picture in your mind our Messiah being crucified. And knowing the life story of Paul, where he said, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, and I want the last, this second part of the verse to be your ultimate life purposes. I want the life I live in this flesh. I want to live it by faith in the Son of God, whom loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified. You know, some of us, we're not dead yet. Some of us, we're too alive. So Kendra told you the other day, her and I, we had a growth session. You know, we went to a marriage seminar in February. And from the marriage seminar, they taught us, when we argue, we call it growth session. Because mature people, you can argue, you can get mad, but the thing is, you can't remain there. So Friday, her and I, we had a very beautiful growth session. Thank God for the gospel. You know, and thank God Ryan wasn't at home either, because, you know, the growth session lasted a little longer than we anticipated to last. But, you know, that's the power of the gospel, because in your marriage, in your relationship, you can argue, you can disagree. But you know what? It's got to stop somewhere, because unless the flesh dies, you'll never encounter Jesus and the freedom that he has for you. Listen, I wrote it here. Ricardo must die. Our flesh must die. To experience the power that raised Christ from the dead, you must die. Even for the fact, in my marriage, I'm having a conversation, she's like, this has hurt me. This, I'm like, well, why are you hurt? It shouldn't be hurting. But in reality, I should take acknowledge of that hurt, whether I understand it or not. You see a level of maturity? I just passed that class 26 years later. Because I'm very logic. I mean, come on, honey, you shouldn't be getting mad about that. Really? Sure. I mean, really? Are you serious? And then the more I say that, the more I'm hurting her, because I'm not acknowledging. And then the Lord took me on a journey to realize, Ricardo, it's your pride. Your pride cannot acknowledge that she's hurting. Because you won't apologize to anybody if you can't acknowledge their hurt. You see, sometimes we want to acknowledge, I didn't hurt you. Why are you so hurt? I didn't do anything to hurt you. Why are you so huffing and puffing? That's the worst thing to say to anybody. God is love. If you love somebody, I'm actually preparing a sermon from that. Managing life relationship. We must die to ourselves. Now imagine Christ being crucified on the cross. Where do you see yourself? Being offended? Holding grudge? Watching things you're not supposed to watch? Saying things you're not supposed to say? Listening to things you're not supposed to listen? Even when it comes to how we entertain ourselves. What do you use to entertain yourself? What can you watch? What can't you watch? What is some things the moment you see it, or you might have a little sense, this is where this film is going. What is bring all your red flags up? What is it? My brother Paul, he says, man, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives. And I pray after this reminder of season of Easter we've been through, this new year, we would realize God wants us there. He wants us to live a life, yes, in the flesh, but you live it by faith. You live a life crucified. I'm dead. Can you offend a dead person? Man, the moment I get offended, Ricardo is alive. See, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. The moment I can't forgive, Ricardo is alive. Can I see God with Ricardo alive? Ricardo must die. You must die to see God. When I read the Bible, I realize mankind died with the fall of Adam beyond the perfect will of God. In Christ, however, we have another kind of death. We die to sin and come alive again within the will of God. We die to sin, but we come alive within the will of God. So therefore, I embrace the will of God for me. So what's the will of God when it comes to forgiveness? I must forgive. What is the will of God when it comes to purity, holiness? There is no logic. There is no other way. God is holy. I must be holy. It doesn't matter. You know, we were talking the other day about somebody. I can tell you, the Pope died, right? I went and just did my research. The guy was a great guy. But I hope he knew Jesus. Because it doesn't matter how much good you do on this earth. Are you able to make a stand for righteousness? Are you able to call sin? You know, maybe, you know, if some of you know, he was pressured to, what's the word I'm looking for? He was pressured to not condemn the act of homosexuality. Homosexuality is sin. It doesn't matter what society is saying. Positive and positive doesn't go together. Negative and negative doesn't go together. You cannot pretend you are a Christian and you're willingly living in sin. That doesn't match. And when I'm saying living in sin, we're not talking about adultery, you know, homosexuality, fornication, cheating, you know, sometimes like that's big sin. Well, how about just holding a grudge? You know, how about just not being honest? Or partially being honest. You know, you tell the truth, but it's not fully the truth. It's like being deceitful. How about that? How about being a hypocrite? You want people to think you're A, but you're really a W. When you choose to follow Jesus and die to yourself, being crucified, you're dead. Jesus said it, Father, into your hand I commend my spirit. It doesn't matter what society says. Like it says here, in Christ, however, we have another kind of death. We die to our sin, we die to sin, and we come alive within the will of God. So I'm not here to please society. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to love you. But I'm here to live by the truth, what God says. When God calls it sin, I say it's sin. If God calls it light, I call it light. You know what they say? Truth sounds like hate for those who doesn't want to hear it. You know, when my wife's telling me the truth, I think she hates me. No, it's just the truth. Until I come to my senses, I'm like, yeah, she's telling the truth. I think that was part of our growth session, because she was telling me the truth and I couldn't see it. And I argued. And I can argue, believe me. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And then we talked. And then boom, things just like grew. I mean, our friendship grew better. Communication. That's where it's at, my brothers and sisters. Jesus dies so you don't remain in your sins. And the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we're fooling ourselves. Until we see Jesus face to face, every day. Every day, man. Sometimes you're not looking for it. It finds you. You know, it's like, man, I'm like, Lord, Paul said it. Who could deliver me from this flesh? I don't know about you, man. Sometimes I'm like, God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Man, what would I do without the Holy Spirit? I want to be crucified with Christ. Let me read that again. In Christ, however, we have another death. We die to sin and come alive. We die to sin and come alive within the will of God. It was for this that Christ died on the cross, and we identify ourselves with his death. So, for you, for others to experience Christ's life, you must identify yourself with his crucifixion. Pick up your cross. Die daily. He's turning back. He's coming back. He's coming back for a pure bride. There's no time to be like, even be lazy spiritually. The Bible says, awake all you sleepers. Persevere. Add endurance in serving God. Make it a priority to be faithful in serving God. Do not do like the others who forsake the assembly of the saints. You know, this verse from Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 tells us how real the doctrine of faith should be in our life. The crucified Christ lived in Paul and helped him understand the deepest significance of the cross. Like Christ, Paul considered himself lowly and become a slave, obedient to death. And then this is where I say, Ricardo must die. Would you help me? Say your name. Ricardo must die. Let's say that again. Ricardo must die. You know, let's say that again. Ricardo must die. And I tell you, let me remind you why we must die to ourselves. It is very simple according to the word. When you die to yourself, you are crucified with Christ. You identify with the cross. Then the world can experience Christ's life in you. And that's what will make the difference between someone who goes to church and someone who are living in the gospel. Because you can easily make the difference between the son, the true sons and daughters of God, and the religious one. The true sons and daughters of God are growing in God daily. The resurrected king can be manifest in your life when you die to yourself. The death of Christ on the cross testify his holiness and his triumph over sin and death. Last week I talked a little bit about that, because I told you one of the things mankind really afraid of is death, right? You know, I was looking at the Pope. I mean, he is supposed to represent Peter. Like, some people worship him, you know. I believe he had a good life. I'm not judging him. I just pray that he had a relationship with Jesus. And if he did, well done, good and faithful servant. But at the same time, we shouldn't worship anybody else but Christ. Anybody else but Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It doesn't matter how holy, how much money you have. When death knocks on the door, You're going. But the only thing we can do for death is to prepare for it. The only response we can give to death is to prepare for it. And how do we prepare for death? We know it. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And then, when you do this, if you're still breathing, you live a holy life in waiting for the return of the Majesty King, Jesus. Because the word says those who have this eager expectation, he's coming back, will keep themselves pure. Jesus' death on the cross testified that he is holy. So therefore, we must be holy. And he triumphed over death. So that's why I'm not afraid of death. I told you that last week. You shouldn't be afraid of death. When your loved one passed, of course we're going to miss them. But it's time to rejoice because absent in this physical body is to be present in the sight of the Lord. The measure in which the believer claims the truth for himself is how much he dies to the world. Let me tell you this again. The measure in which the believer claims to the truth for himself, which truth? The truth, I must die to myself, is how much he dies to the world. Meaning, the more you identify with the crucifixion of Christ, the more you identify, the more it's like you become so allergic to the world. You remember the Bible calls those people carnal Christians. The word carnal comes from the Greek, means fleshly. Yes, they love the Lord, but they're just carnal. You know, in Romans chapter 8, it says a carnal person can never please God. As a matter of fact, it is totally impossible. Let's go there. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The measure in which the believer claims the truth for himself is how much he dies to the world. To the world's pleasure. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. It says, now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the living, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. That means, meaning Jesus had a body like me. You know what makes the difference? He lived a life filled with the Spirit. So therefore, he was able to overcome sin. And then it goes on to say, and in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sin. Verse 4. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. Who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? Two words. Life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. Don't give your flesh a chance. Do not. Don't. This is something I've been telling myself, Ricardo. My spirit's like, flesh, Ricardo, we have no chance. Die. You're going to humble yourself. I don't want to. But who is the boss? My spirit's the boss. Even when it comes to, you know, self-discipline. Certain things we're not supposed to eat because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because God wants us to live a good, healthy life. But my mouth, it's just, I want to eat a 6 dozen of donuts. That's impossible. But it's just not good for you to eat that stuff. Unless you're 97, go for it. Self-discipline, even in the simplest thing. Because right now you know eating six donuts is not good for you. It's just so good. Yes, it's good. But you can't because it's not good for you. And you can fill the blank. The flesh is hostile to God. My flesh is hostile to God. Sometimes you have to drag it. You go into prayer. This is your flesh. Right? You coming. You coming. That's your flesh. You know you coming. That's your spirit is doing this to your flesh. You coming. You know? Seriously. Because if you don't, that's what I do with my flesh. You know, you coming. Because your will, you is your spirit. And let your spirit leads you. Leads your life. You say, you coming. You go in the home group. You see you being disconnected? When your spirit is talking this to you, what do you do? You remember, this is your flesh. Every time you see a mic stand, you're going to think about it. You know, that is the truth. You drag it because I love this right here. It says, verse 7, for the sinful nature always. You know, the word always is a strong word. The sinful nature is always hostile. You know, when we call for a fast, who is excited about fasting? No one, including me. Who's excited about going on a mission trip? You know, doing the things of God. Who's excited? Not my flesh. Until I get my flesh to submit under the authority of God. Then I tell you, Ricardo, my soul knows who's the boss. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God in me. That's how I can grow in our marriage. There's no such perfect marriage until, you know, God calls us home. You know, some of us are better than others, but Kendra and I, we're two firstborn, so we do have our growth sessions. But every growth session makes us better and closer to each other. Because we do the growth session on this. When people betray you, when people take advantage of you, whatever situation comes your way, when people mistreat your children, you know, when situation comes, you deal with that situation with the Word of God. Because that's your pattern. This is your standard. Not what society say. Not what your children say. Even not what your children say. And the verse I wanted to finish with is verse 8. Verse 7 says, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law. And it never will. It never will. So don't give yourself a chance. Your flesh will take you to places that you don't want to go. Your flesh, your desire will cause you to do things. Think about Samson. He was a carnal leader. And God's people suffered. We don't want to be like that. It never will. Verse 8. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can, another strong word, never please God. Once again, help me say your name. Ricardo must die. So the measure in which the believer claims the truth for himself is how much he dies to the world, to the world's superficial pleasure, to the world's desire, and to the world's selfishness. The more you cling to the message of the cross, the more you realize, man, I can't be selfish. And we selfish people, I tell you. We are naturally born selfish because we're born in our sins. You know, there's this thing going around that not everyone is a bad person. I tell you, we all bad. We are sinners in need of salvation. But thank God for the cross. You know, when we say you are sinners, there's no condemnation there. It's not like you're a bad person. No, you are saints. Now you've been called saints. Because you stand in the righteousness of God. Paul learns that the deepest meaning of the cross opened the way for fellowship with Christ. True fellowship. He knows that. He learns that the crucified Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. And I pray this morning that you will experience that. You would continue to experience, what is it? Dead to sin. You experience the crucifixion, therefore you are dead to sin, alive with God in Christ. Now let's go to one more verse before I close. Philippians chapter 4. Actually, Philippians chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 4. The next week, I'm going to talk about dead works. Philippians chapter 3. Paul's talking again. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Chapter 3, verse 4. He says, whatever happened, my dear... 4. It says... Philippians 3, verse 4. Let's start with verse 1. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do this to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the one who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, oh, I have even more. I was crucified when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew. If there was ever one, just like if there was ever a true American, you know. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest of obedience to the Jewish law. Verse 6. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, even everything else is worthless when I compare to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen? Come on, guys. You must say amen right here. Paul's saying, verse 8, yes, even everything else is worthless when I compare it with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I discarded everything else, counted it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depend on what? Faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Let's all read this together and let's make this our declaration. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. Really? Hang on. Really? Think about this. Oh, I want to suffer. Are you sure? Let's read that again. Are you sure? Are you sure you're okay with people hating you? With the world to dislike you? They do that anyway. Are you sure to make a bold stand? This is my choice. We tied this verse with Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Oh man, I've been crucified with Christ. It's not me that live. Living in Christ means living a life crucified. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. Share in his death. Why? So that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I mean, can I have an amen right here? And I pray this is our deepest desire this morning. Desire to be dead to self, so Christ could live in you. You know, what would be your answer to these words this morning? What are some areas in your life that you know you must die in those areas? What are they? I'm going to give you a couple minutes. I have a couple minutes for you to respond to the word of the Lord. You know, maybe it's dead work. You know what the Bible calls dead works? It's dead work is not only wicked work. It's not, I mean, the Bible says dead work, calls it dead work. The dead work could be good things you do as well. You know, sometimes people think when they do good things to God, they get closer to God. There's nothing you can do to earn God's grace. You know, everything you think, oh, well, I'm giving my money, I'm doing this, I'm serving the church, so therefore, okay, God, we good. Really? That's dead work. Because you serve in the church, you go on mission, you give your money, you know, you do things for God. That doesn't mean that qualifies you for God's grace. The Bible calls those dead work. Paul said it here. I'm going to read it again. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or the other, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. So I want you to respond to the word of the Lord this morning.